This is a video about tools, specifically about what my favorite tools are that I like to have on hand when I'm running role-playing games. After lots of trial and error and, above all, a lot of practice, I've developed a small canon of things that I usually have on my gaming table, either because they're incredibly practical or simply because I think they're great, or that I pack in my bag when I go out to run a game somewhere else. The notebook is the first one. Never leave the house without a notebook and never run a game without one, because things will always happen spontaneously that you haven't already written down somehow. This is my favorite notebook format. It's ring-bound, which means I can lay it flat on the table and it has a loop and comes with the pen included. I typically find these in museum shops. I already have several, but they have different prints on them, depending on what kind of museum it is. Others are already completely covered in notes. This one is still relatively new, as you can see, from the Museum of Egyptian Art. And there are already a few pages in it, because I keep using them. For example, here is the random table for what happens in the Forest of Wild Magic in Cormen Thor when people do magic there. This is how I prepare things and can then always remember what I have done most recently. The only problem is remembering which notebook is the current one, or whether I have just written things in another one because I couldn't find one. That's why it's always best to have one and to have a fixed format and to know that it's currently Egypt and the one with the turtle is full. So, a second thing that I really like is folders. I'm a bit old-fashioned in that regard. And I also have a shelf next to me full of folders, with different materials. This one is just particularly pretty and I'm one of those people who I use things more if they're pretty. My brain has a certain prejudice about this. For example, a drinking bottle, an absolutely useful thing for taking enough water with you throughout the day, only works for me if it's pretty. This is a folder that the artist Run sent me as a gift and I'm currently using it for, and there's also a little bag and an arena for dice in it for the Lemur Collector's Order folder. There's Lemur material from 10 years or more in it in various stages. And this is a folder that I put back in whenever I write to Lemur, so that I can work backwards through materials whose digital files I no longer have because they died with a computer or an account, which I no longer have access to or which have really crossed the rainbow bridge. And accordingly, I also sort materials for campaigns or things like that into folders like this. And the really practical thing about it is that you can put anything in here. Is it a handout? You punch holes in it or you put it in a film. And I also have inserts for cards in different formats when I'm preparing something where I have monster cards, for example, or magic cards or something else that's extremely useful. Tool for simply having a complete campaign in a folder. In the middle of it there's a pen holder and there's a matching little pocket for dice and a matching dice arena. Dice arenas are also a clear recommendation from me and everything here is lovingly sewn on with a little elf leaf. It's all handmade. Of course, they're all unique pieces, which means you have to look at her. She also makes clothing, so you definitely have to always check what's available and what's finished with her. Otherwise, there are longer waiting times and she also has a number of these folders. Well, especially when I'm directing a digital game and sitting at my desk or something like that, it's also about the sound that goes into the transmission. And one of my tricks is to simply put a game mat underneath where I have the side, so that it's on the wrong way round. So that the opening and closing of books, the spontaneous rolling of dice when I don't have my dice arena to attack, the moving of things back and forth and things like that don't make any noise on the table surface and I simply put the normal ones, this is a magic playum, just underneath. It can also be playums of various kinds, for example, on the table here, but they're in a good format. Everything I usually need fits on them and they also have pretty motifs on them. I have a small collection of them too. This is the one I've used the most at the moment because I like owls. Who am I surprised? Let's come to dice, which are unavoidable for most games. As you might imagine, as someone who has been playing role-playing games for a very, very long time and really likes pretty things, I have a somewhat larger collection of dice. Definitely not the largest among my friends. There are people who are worse goblins when it comes to that. But I still have a relatively large collection and have sorted them into dice that are okay. Dice that I really like and my favorite dice. And this is a box that I often take with me when I go to an event where I know that I have an overview of my dice and I'm playing with a relatively small group, so where no dice are likely to get lost, because this is the cream of my dice. What makes a good dice for me? Firstly, it is pretty. It has appealing colors or something funny is poured into it. For example, there are little golden butterflies in here. I also have some with owls or chickens or something else. I also have some with a liquid core. Fancy dice are absolutely my thing, which is also important to me, and that is a hard thing. I like dice with round edges. So it is just a much more pleasant feeling for me to work with them or to roll a whole handful of them. I am such a big fan of metal dice. They are really fancy, but I often don't like the weight and they are too loud. A pretty dice with rounded edges made of a nice, tactile plastic. Ideal and my absolute favorite dice in terms of appearance and also with at least slightly rounded edges, and that's why these are very nice. These are Aurora Borealis dice. They are clear, but with an Aurora Borealis foil inside, which creates these colorful light reflections. So they are dice with ephemeric rainbows that they create. I love them. That's why they are still in their little box here to this day and are only used for special rounds when I know for sure that none of them will be lost. That means I don't usually leave the house just to be on the safe side. Then dice are a very good thing. Either from the box, if I have it with me, use the lid if it is one of those that is lined with a suitable material. Otherwise, I really like the ones that can be transported flat or rolled up and then the corners just snap together and you're done. Dice bags are an underrated tool. They dampen the sound and, above all, they ensure that the dice don't fall off the table unless you act like a complete idiot, which can happen to me sometimes. I think you've never found a dice rolled underneath the last piece of furniture in every apartment we've moved out of in the last 5 to 10 years. I don't even want to know how many people live under the sofa now. So, I'm also a big fan of dice bags when I go to a one-armed event somewhere and they have to be silly. So one mimic dice bag and one owlberry dice bag, they're both a stuffed animal and a dice bag at the same time. That means I can cuddle them, which is calming. And if I'm on a long train ride, for example, I like to have a stuffed animal with me. You can do that too and clamp the head. Good trick. Always have a stuffed animal with you. It's also a pillow and at least one set of dice fits in their stomach. It's a bit bloody, but also funny, or rather with this one here. He then pukes them out. He has my location splitting dice in there. He looks after very valuable dice, as he should. F mimic. Okay, now let's get to the really pragmatic things that I would highly recommend simply from experience. And one is, always have a character sheet of the game you're currently playing. Even if you know something absolutely by heart, your brain can always say, "No, I can't tell you what the right term is for not falling down somewhere. Is it balancing? Is it acrobatics? It's body control." I change the rulebooks that I run or play very often. And then you can ask yourself, is it balancing? Is it body control or something else? And that's why I always put a character sheet on the table when I remember, so that I know what people can roll for, so that I can announce the correct tests. Or if they make suggestions themselves about what to roll for, which I always welcome, I can see whether that makes sense or can I suggest something else? Then this is an example of two things. Firstly, I am a huge fan of books that are simply collections of materials or contain random tables, and here in the Grand Grenmore of Mythos Magic is one of the best random tables in it. For me, it is one of the best random tables in that it is one that I use very, very often. This is the table on which you can roll dice to determine what is needed for a Cthulhu magical ritual. But I also think it is great for all sorts of other magical traditions that contain at least some weirdness and maybe a human sacrifice now and again. And I generally recommend volumes and books that contain such random tables. There are also entire anthologies of them. The thing is that it has developed a bit into the point where some people crowdfund "Here is my anthology of traps" or something like that. Find out beforehand whether the whole thing is actually something for you and whether it is suitable for you. Personally, I like a lot of the materials that System brings out because they have a very similar game philosophy to me. Namely that I prefer to have to prepare as little as possible and can improvise with good material. This is one of those tables that you can improvise with because it's a mixture of things that are easy to achieve, things that are really hard to achieve and maybe have to be substituted, and things that are just generally strange, like you have to take off your clothes for the ritual. And what the book also demonstrates directly here is another tool that I find extremely valuable, and that is posts, etc. And I like to have blocks of posts in different sizes. Here, for example, are some on which I can create longer lists. Here are smaller ones that I simply use to mark something in a book. It only has one mark. If you were to look at my Vampire V20 book, for example, it's fluffy on the side, full of different little pieces of paper that I have used to mark different parts of the rules and information that I need now and then. So a clear recommendation. If you use books, mark where the important things are and maybe put things that you currently need at a certain time and for a certain topic on a note like this. Stick it in the right place in the book or in your notebook so that you can take it out, put it somewhere else when you no longer need it and throw it away. Here, for example, there are currently additions to this random table for the episode of Old One that we played, where the people weren't people but guinea pigs, where some of the things on this list that make less sense for more pigs were multiply piggly and made a bit cute. Instead of an animal sacrifice, if you're playing a guinea pig yourself, you have to use dry piles of excrement instead. Instead of a weapon, you use a book. Instead of initiated marshmallows, instead of human blood, you use chili sauce. Instead of death bells, you use stir fry. I don't know how I came up with that. And other things that you might use are rods from an animal cage. Yes, a balloon animal instead of a human sacrifice. Things like that. So, I sometimes supplement information with notes like that. A post-it blog is worth its weight in gold. I have two more things. This is actually a live counter for Magic the Gathering, but I use it to count up and down the life energy or whatever you count of monsters and the like. The tens and the ones are enough. If a creature has more than 100 points in something, you can usually remember pretty well whether you are over or under 100. That means I just count the part here. I don't have to write anything down. I just quickly click-clack the thing back and forth. And then I know that the dragon has 366 hit points left. For example, extremely useful. It comes in different versions and of course for different games. Just go to your local toy shop and see what they have and then take one with you. I like these because they feel so nice to the touch and Nico doesn't like them because they make noises. But they also come as a cardboard card where you just turn a little wheel. Okay, and the last one is a stress ball. This may sound strange, but I'm one of those people who, when they're mentally occupied, often do something with their hands at the same time. And the things that usually happen are that you take a ballpoint pen, for example, and keep going, click, 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 or you play around with dice or something else. The huge advantage of a stress ball is that it doesn't make any noise. Unless you do really bad things with the stress ball. And that's why I like to have something ready at my streaming station that I can keep my fingers busy with, that I can knead or press around on, And usually it's either a stress ball or one of those dice bags again. That just makes my brain work better and that I don't make noises that drive Nico and the people watching crazy. Madness is good, but only if it's the kind of madness you want. So, the last thing that Nico gives me here is really just for fun, and that's a dice tower. I don't use that when we stream because dice towers tend to clatter loudly, not surprisingly. But I've noticed again in D&D in the castle how much fun it is to stage the dice rolling in a dramatic way. If it's a really important roll, then we use the dice tower, and there was one with a dragon that spat it out. This one is very funny in that it's a game of skill. I was given this as a gift, when I was giving a talk at a training course and teaching people things who work in librarianship and... The trick is that you can wobble it back up again with it, and then you have to fold it down again quickly so that you can hang it up again at the bottom. And both of these things go wrong very easily. I've also used it to catapult things across the room, but it's a lot of fun. Dice towers of all kinds. There are loads of different versions. This one is 3D printed. You can just download the STL files from Thingy first, I think. You just have to screw in a few screws. They're just a lot of fun at the gaming table, but not if you need good sound. Well, that's it. My top, I have no idea how many. Well, things that I like to have with me or just need to have with me. I take with me or put at my desk when I play because they make my job easier. Help me think and prevent mistakes that are otherwise easy to make, like not finding things in books, losing track, doing L or being stressed. Thank you for your attention. I hope when you watch this on YouTube that you like the video or interact with it in some other way. Because then you are our favorite viewers because you make sure that even more people see the whole thing. Because we all know by now that we are ruled by algorithms. Thank you for that. So, I didn't make this world. I just have to live in it and I hope that you do the same. Maybe a little better and less stressed while running the game through this video. Take care and see you then. Bye. Yes, we offer cookies and drinks and things like that. Hello, visit.
What are your most important tools on the pen paper?
Oh, that's me. I'm obviously prepared for the question now because I've been thinking about it the whole time.
Prepared for another question?
No, it's fine. So what I definitely took away is having a character sheet so that you get a bit of a perspective from the games. That's surprisingly logical and it could be that I thought, oh, I could have thought of that myself.
Yeah.